Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. Before we get into today's news, we need to open with a severe weather alert that has been pushed out to mobile devices across the area. Automated systems are currently broadcasting a severe weather warning for Grand Rapids, claiming a 100% chance of rain and potential severe hazards stretching from noon all the way through 9 o'clock tonight. The alert advises taking protective action and preparing for heavy, sustained downpours.
However, we need to immediately clarify this situation because there is a significant discrepancy between that automated alert and the actual local meteorological data. If you check with the forecasters at WZZM 13 this morning, they are strongly contradicting that severe alert. While we are going to see some rain, there is absolutely no official severe weather warning in effect for Grand Rapids today. It highlights the real risks of relying entirely on automated weather apps for public safety planning without verifying with local meteorologists. Exactly. Looking at the actual current conditions, it is 49 degrees in Grand Rapids, feeling a bit cooler at 46. We have overcast clouds, high humidity at 85%, and a light east-northeast wind at about 7 miles per hour. As for the rest of the day, you should expect light rain and a high of 49 degrees, but again, nothing that meets the criteria for a severe hazard. The rain will taper off overnight, and we'll see temperatures drop down to 32 degrees by Thursday morning with scattered clouds. So definitely bring an umbrella if you are heading out this afternoon, but there is no need to alter your major plans or take emergency protective actions. Moving on to our main stories today, we are taking a close look at a fascinating real estate development in the local agricultural sector. A Grand Rapids farmer has just signed a 99-year lease to pilot a brand new nonprofit land access model, which could change how new farmers secure acreage in a highly speculative market. We are also diving into some intense political friction at the state level. Leaked records are shedding light on a highly contested primary race for the University of Michigan Board of Regents. It is a story involving dark money, unauthorized use of party data, and rescinded union endorsements, all reflecting deeper divisions within the Michigan Democratic Party.
Let us start with a story out of Crane's Grand Rapids Business that addresses one of the most significant hurdles facing the agricultural industry today, which is land access. A farmer in the Grand Rapids area has officially entered into a 99-year lease agreement. This is part of a pilot program led by a local nonprofit aimed at creating a new model for agricultural land access.
To understand why a 99-year lease is such a big deal, we have to look at the current economics of farming, especially in urban adjacent areas like Kent County. Access to affordable, secure land is widely considered the primary barrier for beginning farmers. As the Grand Rapids metro area continues to grow, agricultural land is constantly competing with non-agricultural development. Real estate developers looking to build subdivisions or commercial zones drive the price per acre up to levels that simply cannot be financed by crop yields alone.
Right. If you are a new farmer without a massive inheritance or deep corporate backing, buying land outright near a major economic hub is nearly impossible. That is where this nonprofit model comes in. By utilizing a long-term ground lease, the nonprofit retains ownership of the land itself, ensuring it is preserved for agricultural use rather than being sold off to developers. Meanwhile, the farmer gets tenure security.
And that tenure security is the crucial piece of the puzzle. A standard lease might be for 1, 3, or maybe 5 years. You cannot make long-term investments in soil health, irrigation infrastructure, or permanent structures like barns if you might lose the land in a few years. A 99-year lease effectively functions as ownership for the working lifespan of the farmer and potentially their immediate heirs. It gives them the operational autonomy to run the farm and the security to make those expensive upfront infrastructure investments without the prohibitive initial cost of purchasing the dirt.
There is a delicate balance to strike here, though. The nonprofit's primary goal is land preservation and preventing sprawl, but the farmer needs to be able to build equity. Usually, a farmer's retirement plan is the equity they have built in their land. Under this model, the lease structure has to be carefully crafted so that the farmer can still build equity in the physical infrastructure and the business operations, even if they do not hold the deed to the property.
Exactly. And that brings up the broader discussion about the scalability of this model. Can this realistically compete with the intense market pressures of land speculation? Nonprofits have limited capital to acquire these parcels in the first place. if a developer is offering top dollar for a 50-acre farm on the edge of town, the nonprofit has to somehow match or negotiate a conservation easement to secure that land before they can even offer it to a young farmer.
It is a massive challenge, but this pilot program in Grand Rapids is going to be closely watched by agricultural economists and urban planners across the Midwest. If they can prove that this 99-year ground lease model works, that it keeps the land productive, allows the farmer to thrive economically, and successfully blocks speculative development, it could become a blueprint for preserving local food systems in growing metropolitan areas.
It also shifts the paradigm of what it means to be a successful farmer. For generations, success meant owning the land free and clear. This model suggests that success can simply mean having the permanent, undisturbed right to farm it. It will be interesting to see how traditional agricultural lenders handle leasehold mortgages under this new framework, as the farmer will still need capital to operate.
Turning now to state politics, we have a highly contentious situation developing around a race that normally flies under the radar. The Detroit News is reporting on leaked records that show deep internal divisions within the Michigan Democratic Party regarding the upcoming primary for the University of Michigan Board of Regents.
To set the stage, incumbent regents Jordan Acker and Paul Brown are currently facing a primary challenge from Dearborn civil rights attorney Amir Macklett. What makes this significant is the sheer volume of controversy and alleged campaign misconduct swirling around this specific challenge. According to reporting from Patch.com, the Michigan Democratic Party is actively investigating the unauthorized use of their internal membership lists. These lists were allegedly used to send out anonymous text messages and fund dark money mailers targeting party members.
The irony here is palpable. The Democratic Party frequently campaigns against the influence of dark money in politics, yet here we have allegations of dark money tactics being deployed in a primary challenge for a university board seat. It reflects a broader and increasingly bitter division within the party, largely exacerbated by tensions surrounding the Israel-Gaza war. The Board of Regents race has essentially become a proxy battleground for these larger geopolitical and ideological rifts.
And the controversy extends directly to the challenger himself. Amir Macklett has faced intense scrutiny after it was revealed he deleted several social media posts. These weren't just standard political posts. They reportedly included praise for leaders of the Iranian regime, as well as a Lebanese Hezbollah militia leader. In today's political climate, especially given the ongoing conflict in the Middle East, those revelations have had immediate consequences.
Absolutely. The fallout was swift. The Service Employees International Union, or SEIU, recently rescinded its endorsement of Macklett. In their statement, the union cited new information that was not available at the time their initial endorsement was made, clearly referencing the deleted social media activity. It raises a serious question about how thoroughly institutional endorsements are vetted in these down-ballot, nonpartisan, or nominally partisan educational governance roles.
It also brings up a fascinating discussion about the role of a university regent. This is a board that oversees a massive public institution with a multi-billion dollar budget, hospitals, and tens of thousands of students. To what extent should a candidate's past social media activity regarding controversial foreign figures influence voter support? Some argue it speaks to the candidate's worldview and judgment, while others might argue it is entirely disconnected from the day-to-day governance of a state university.
Right, but when you combine the deleted posts with the allegations of unauthorized data mining and dark money mailers, it paints a picture of a campaign that is willing to use aggressive, opaque tactics. The fact that the state party itself has to investigate the misuse of its own membership lists shows a significant breakdown in internal party discipline. It will be very telling to see how the party establishment handles this moving forward, and whether Acker and Brown can fend off a challenge that has mobilized these kinds of resources. Ultimately, it shows that there is no such thing as a low-stakes election anymore. National and international conflicts are trickling all the way down to university board races, bringing millions of dollars and sophisticated campaign tactics with them. We will keep an eye on the Michigan Democratic Party's internal investigation and see if they release any public findings regarding those anonymous text messages.
All right, those are some heavy topics to digest today. Let's pivot and hit a few more local stories real quick before we wrap up the show.
Sounds good. We have some updates on a major downtown event and a quick check-in on a statewide ballot initiative we have been tracking.
Fox 17 is reporting that medals and final details have been revealed for the 49th annual Amway Riverbank Run, which is officially scheduled for Saturday, May 9th in downtown Grand Rapids. Organizers are expecting over 25,000 participants and spectators to flood the city.
It is a massive event. It is actually the largest 25K road race in the entire country and has hosted the USA 25-kilometer Open Championships since 1995. Race director Russ Hines noted that the event injects nearly $2 million annually into the local economy. And for those worried about the recent high water levels on the Grand River, the good news is that the floodwaters have receded enough that all race courses will remain completely unchanged.
Finally, WHMI has an update on the Michiganders for Money Out of Politics Coalition. They are currently on the ground collecting signatures for a 2026 ballot initiative designed to heavily restrict corporate political contributions across the state.
The clock is ticking for them. Organizers have to submit at least 356,958 valid signatures by May 27th to qualify for the November ballot. The proposal specifically targets regulated monopoly utilities like DTE and Consumers Energy, banning them from making political contributions across the state.
It also aims to close the issue ad loophole by forcing disclosure of funding sources for campaign ads. Christy McGillivray from Voters Not Politicians says the measure is wildly popular and has bipartisan support, but we will have to see if they can cross that signature threshold in the next few weeks.
That is going to do it for our coverage today. Thank you for making Grand Rapids Daily part of your routine.
Remember to grab that umbrella on your way out, even if the severe alerts are overblown. Stay dry, West Michigan, and we will catch you back here tomorrow.